This is CliffCentral.com.
Got a lot of interesting stuff. You want to hear cartoons where people use foul-mouthed terminology and words? No, listen to this. I mean, this. Okay, so here it
is. Not like South Park, right?
South Park's obviously featured prominently in here. So here's South Park. Let's start with them and, you know, all the foul-mouthed stuff. So let me see if I can find this.
Don't be shy. Just give it your best shot. Yes, Clyde.
12?
Okay, now let's try to get an answer from someone who's not a complete retard. Anyone? Come on, don't be shy.
I think I know the answer, Mr. Garrison. Shut up, fat boy!
Hey, don't call me fat, you fucking Jew!
Eric, did you just say the F word?
Jew?
No, he's talking about fuck. You can't say fuck in school, you fucking fat ass.
Kyle!
Why the fuck not?
Eric!
Dude, you just said fuck again!
Stanley!
Who?
Kenny!
What's the big deal? It doesn't hurt anybody. Fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
How would you like to go see the school counselor?
How would you like to suck my balls?
What did you say?
I'm sorry. Actually, what I said was...
How would you like to suck my balls, Mr. Garrison?
Holy shit.
I think Donald...
So there we go. How's that? Some foul-mouth stuff to start your day. Do you like that?
It reminds me of Sunday afternoon, actually. I'd finally gotten around to... watching the Dave Chappelle's new special Sticks and Stones. Well, I was about, you know, I don't deserve the Uncle of the Year award. I was a good 15, 20 minutes into the special. Then I realized, oh shucks, my nephew's sitting right next.
Oh no, Sia.
And I had forgotten. So I was like, okay, time to now change and find something else.
Although that is extremely adult content. I think when you're like, sitting with Uncle Sia,
he's 8.
Most of it is way above you. Like you don't get it. You don't get why people are laughing. You just like, what's going on?
Yeah, because you're a mom. I mean, do you think that kids don't look for that stuff because they don't know that it's good or bad or interesting or controversial?
Until you get into that quarter to puberty age, that's when you start seeking those things.
That's my life. That's my life right now. That's my life right now.
That's what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You'll watch The Bold and the Beautiful just to see a kiss and you
giggle. He's been watching Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like lots of adult content.
Right.
Right? But it's... So I've kind of let it go because I think it gives me teachable moments.
Okay.
Right? It gives me moments of having... Because they're old and they're awkward and they're nerds. So they're a little bit like they're in puberty.
Yeah,
all those guys are going through like the puberty stage, you know?
Right.
So I'm quite like... I'm using it as teachable moments. I'm using it to have all the conversations. All the conversations
are you watching
around
it with
intercourse.
Him? You're watching it with him?
Yeah, he's not allowed to watch... anything out of my earshot. He's not allowed to be on the internet, on YouTube, on TikTok or whatever, out of my earshot.
That's
so even if I'm not watching, I can at least hear it. Yeah, because, you know.
Yeah, there's some seriously dodgy stuff out there. I think that that's got to be one of the most tough things in the world right now is for parents to figure out what isn't acceptable for kids.
Yeah, where you draw
in
that
terms
line.
Of that digital environment, that universe of stuff that's out there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when we only had radio, so and everything had a radio friendly cut. Mm-hmm. So even music had a radio version. Only if you had the CD or whatever, that then you could hear all the, but it also came with a big label saying explicit.
That's right.
Now, you know, Nicki Minaj.
No, yeah. It's all explicit.
What's her name?
I listen to
Bodak Yellow. What?
Cardi B.
Cardi
Bodak
B.
Yellow, yeah.
Cardi B. Like what? All of it. All of the stuff that you're hearing. All of it is just explicit. It's fuckity fuck fuck.
Yeah, it is.
But look, I also might be speaking a bit too soon because I've only watched max 20 minutes of it. I don't think there's anything to get your knickers in a knot over, and that's Dave Chappelle special.
But people will see it because people like to be outraged. This is what you're missing.
To be very frank,
it's not about what he's doing. It's the fact that he dared to do it.
I had a new revelation from watching it. He's saying all of the things deep down inside we all think.
Yes.
And we say around our trusted friends or around the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
But now social media has given us all this high and mighty way of being. We'll now say what is right.
We all have an avatar. Our avatar is so pure and good and never says anything wrong and isn't caught up in childish humor. Our avatar is this perfect version of ourselves, and actually it's boring and humorless.
But he comes from the Richard Pryor and Red Fox school of comedy. So that's exactly what he does. And that's what makes him so wonderful, him and Chris Rock, is they're able to find just that thing that's just slightly different from everything else. And then they say it, and you're not sure if you should laugh along or not. You're caught in that moment of, if I laugh now... am I going to be outed? Is my avatar going to be like
damaged? See, but that carnal, natural instinct says love. That's who you are. Don't pretend to be, you know, like you have all of your shit together. Please.
So a lot of people are interested in this foul language discussion, and that's why I played the clip, really, to get us talking about it. Neil says, speaking of foul-mouthed animation, F is for Family is by far the best. That's interesting. I don't know what that is.
We must look for it.
And then someone says, speaking of bad language, watch Paradise PD. It's on Netflix. It's not for children, but it's really, really good. Okay.
What is for children these days?
And this is a good point made by Kala. He says, Chappelle is that mirror society's been waiting for.
Mm.
I hope and trust that his latest move will open the door for more artists to stop being afraid and to start being real again.
Mm.
Because, you see, a lot of people have been scolded into keeping quiet.
He also says that. But he's been burnt so badly.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He actually doesn't care. He's just like, yeah, man, you got to get your ticket to Africa. Once you've gone past that stage, you're like home free. He's been burnt. So he doesn't have any fucks left to give.
Right. And God bless him for it.
0.0 just none of it.
I was on a plane, obviously, on the way back from Rome, and I had a great trip, and it was terrific, and I wasn't sitting next to anyone awful or any of that
stuff. No crying kids.
No, everybody was very well behaved.
No stinky person.
But
were you in first class?
No, but I did have a conversation with someone about some gross stuff they've seen on planes. And
why did I instantly get shivers?
I follow an account called Passenger Shaming on Twitter. It's got to be one of the funniest things. It's the only reason to go back on Twitter. And Passenger Shaming posts these pictures of people who put their like manky feet up on the headrest of the person in front of them while they sleep in the seat, and then they put their feet up without shoes on, and they've got these gross feet that are obviously stinky as well, and they put them right up on the headrest of the person who's sitting in the chair in front of them.
And now that I know there are people who actually like get in the shower and don't shower the lower part of those extremities, that is so...
It's extra gross.
Well,
disturbing.
The one you sent me, Gareth, was of a passenger who had clearly... Well, we don't know the context of how they got their underwear wet, but was now using the little vent above their seat to dry...
to dry their underpants.
Their underwear.
Never.
Yes. Yeah, turn on the air there, and they were drying their underpants. Now, no one asks, how did your underwear get wet?
What were you doing?
And how did you change out of it? And what are you wearing now? And why are you holding this up in front of everyone else drying it out? It's just, people have no idea that, like, you're not in your home.
Oh, but guys.
Once I saw someone on a flight clipping their toenails. What makes people think that this is an acceptable way to behave in public, in a closed space, because no one can run away from you. You know, if you're behaving in a gross way on a plane, people are trapped around you. There's nothing they can do about that.
You know the level of, like, privilege in your mind that allows you to, like, shut out the rest of the world?
I'm going to do this now.
The level of privilege that you're operating in.
It's complete.
You're just like, yeah. This is what I'm
doing.
You're
unaware. It's like those people in a smaller way, that the same kind of thing is true. I don't even think it's privilege. I think they just are completely disinterested in what other people are doing. And they think They're not even thinking, because if they were thinking, they would get out of the way. Or, you know, some people just stop in the middle of the aisle in the shop. Or they stop right at the end of an escalator. Like, they come off an escalator in a shopping mall. They stop there. Now, you realize there's a flow coming down behind you. There's a bunch of other people. And if you stop there at that point, you're going to cause a jam. And people are going to fall.
So what it is it's... You just don't care.
You don't care.
You actually just don't care. In your mind, the most important thing is you. Oh, and what's happening to you. It's like those ladies that back out of the spot in Hyde Park. And they just...
They don't look at what traffic's
coming. They don't
look
at what traffic's coming. They're just backing... They I'm backing out people. Of the spot now. Backing out of the spot.
They don't care if there's a person walking behind them.
Speaking... For those people.
Okay. That right.
On the other side of the scale, though, their intention is not to screw with you or ruin your day. Yes, they just don't care, but okay, they aren't being malicious with it. That person is just thinking, oh, my feet need to breathe.
they're not. So it's not that's bad. The point. They're not doing it to screw with you. They just don't care about you. And how you feel
because
about
I,
what they're
I
doing.
I am that person.
Are you that person? Yeah, well, you see, we have the privilege in Kulumangai. We have to see.
I do my best to not. I do my best to not get in other people's way. That's the least you can do. Like everything else, if you do good, we talk about our avatars and how we try to be pure people. If you're actually out there doing good, like you run a soup kitchen or you give people free counseling or you help them pay their debts or whatever, good for you. That's marvelous. I'm in awe of people like that. But the least you can do, that's the most. The least you can do is to just not get in everyone else's way.
Mm.
Like the basic stuff. Just don't cause a jam at the bottom of the escalator. Don't clip your nails on a plane.
Well, see ya.
No.
Don't reverse out of a parking without checking that there isn't someone with a pram with their child in it behind you.
Well, that you just failed K53 for.
But
no.
People don't look.
They don't care.
They don't care. I mean, I've seen people. Sometimes they'll be walking. I saw a woman with slippers on, like bedroom slippers, with the, you know, the poofy, with the little, the ball.
Okay, now this is becoming a personal attack, but carry on.
This woman, aunt. She was walking around the shops in like tracksuit pants with a pair of, like, what did you call it? Pantoffels. They're like slippers.
Not bedroom, even the Uggs, but they're the bedrooms.
Okay. Bedroom slippers on. And she looked like she just got out of bed. And she needed to come and buy stuff. But she wasn't just walking around the garage shop up the road. She
Which is also unacceptable, shopping. Walking around the garage shop in those pantoffels.
I think it's unacceptable,
too.
I think it is unacceptable.
Oh, no, people. Wait, I need context. What day of the week was this? Was this a weekend?
Is there a day that on which it is acceptable, Sia? Yes.
Context is everything.
It is unacceptable any time of day, any day of the week.
No, why?
I'm with Pumi here.
It doesn't harm you. Maybe she's a stay-at-home wife. Maybe she's taken some leave off at work, some well-deserved leave. And you know what? She just needed a six-pack of Cinnabon. Oh, yes.
I feel Sia is...
And she just rolled out of bed.
I feel Sia's defending this behavior because he's guilty of it.
I'm there. I am the president of that club. I'm not going to let my sister in slippers go down without a trying fight.
So as you roll out of bed,
let her be.
To go get your Cinnabon, because this is what, these are all the coded messages that come at us,
sure.
The rest of the people as you're walking around. And have you brushed your teeth? Have you wiped your face?
Because
have you taken a shower?
Because if you've done those things, why couldn't you also just put on something that doesn't make you look like... But like you've just escaped the zombie apocalypse.
So this is something I brought up on, I think on Monday. Yeah, on Monday, the first day you weren't here, because I bumped into a listener on early Sunday morning. It was like 2 or 3 a.m. on Sunday morning.
I won't ask what you were doing.
Well,
or even where.
This is the context, and this is why I actually apologize to the listener, because I didn't get her name, but like she started talking to me and I realized she recognized me from the show, and I was like, okay, abort mission, abort, abort, abort. But it was 2 a.m. I was like watching TV at home, and I was on the couch, so I was in my pajamas, but like half sweatpants, and I was also wrapped up in my throw, and I decided to order pizza.
Okay.
And then so you bumped just, into the
listener. I was leaving my house, leaving the couch, getting into the car, going to the pizza store, getting the pizza, coming back. I wasn't about to have a full-on wardrobe change. And so I looked like
is there
death
Uber
warmed
Eats
up.
In your area?
Do you ever leave your, do you ever leave your house barefoot?
Yeah, sometimes.
You do?
Yeah.
You'll go to the shops barefoot?
Yeah.
You will. Oh my God. You see, Pumi, we've got a problem here.
Sia, I'm judging you.
It is not.
I just want to do a poll.
Look at Pinky's face. Yeah, look at Pinky's face.
I want to do a poll around the office. This is important.
Even
this is really important.
Even Pinky Google is shaking her head in disgust.
Google, have you ever left your house without shoes on and gone to the shops without shoes on, or you decided to, I don't know, go visit someone, or you drove to the garage or whatever with no shoes on?
Gareth, I'm a grown up. I don't do that type of
Thank
shit.
Thank you very much. Pinky, do you? Would you ever do this?
No, I wouldn't do that. I'm quite disappointed in Sia.
Oh, okay. You know what?
It's uncivilized, right?
I want to know. So when you get back, do you wash your feet before getting into bed?
Before jumping on the couch and under their throw again.
So the barefoot thing is by context. No, sometimes it's just at home and they're like, I'm around smokers and we're having a braai and we need to go and go to the garage to get cigarettes, and we walk barefoot, and we come back, and we're still at the bright. Yep. You know what? I don't like this. I will find at least 5 people who
See,
do this.
I was at the beach on Sunday morning. I was at the beach, and I put my shoes on to go across the road to
Really?
Yes. I was at the beach. You could see the sea from where I was going, and I
put
on
a pair of slops. It's
put on shoes.
How hard's that going to be? How difficult?
Walk barefoot in the house. Like, dude.
Why is it a problem to walk around barefoot?
No, feet can't just touch the ground for nothing.
Henceforth, I will be moving from this particular seat. I cannot sit next to Sia anymore. I won't be sitting here anymore.
I am finding tomorrow morning, I am bringing 5 people here.
So out of all of us,
you're the only one, Sia. Do you see this?
There are 5 votes here. Right?
I'll survey the building and this piece of property.
5 votes against you, Sia. Pumi, Gugu, Gareth, Pinky, and, well, I mean, I'll ask Jane when she comes in, but I guarantee you she'll be.
Wait, what sort of lives do you guys lead?
Evidently, it's what sort of life are you leading?
We're not animals.
There are more people in shoes than you.
We are not farm animals.
Okay, have you never done the thing? Oh, no. This is all name and shame. All right, I'm not
here we
good.
Go. Niska says, don't worry, Sia, I'm with you.
There we go.
That is the only message we've received to that effect.
Who's that? Niska.
Yeah.
You're the one
okay.
who's honest here. There are people who are lying. You guys are liars.
Sinette says, talking about toenails in an airplane, I once saw a lady flicking the lip of a tomato sauce bottle in a restaurant after licking the lip of a tomato sauce bottle in a restaurant after she'd used it. How gross is that? I saw a woman at a buffet take the spoon from the potato salad and lick it and then put it back in the potato salad. Yes. 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 I saw that happen.
Wow.
And I went up to her.
Did you leave?
No. I went up to her and I said, that. I looked her in the eye. I said to her, that is disgusting.
Did you start with a cease?
Should I start with cease?
Cease!
Guys. No, you see, I think, you know, things like that. She's just used to doing it at home. And then it was just she fell into it.
See, I have no problem with barefoot around the house. I think Gugu's being a little bit dramatic there. You can walk around your own house, unless you have a filthy, dirty house, in which case, why are you living there?
Dude,
you should be able to walk around your own house without shoes on.
You can walk around naked in your house. You can do whatever you want in your own house. Mara, out in the, during the people, in the public.
Yeah, at least make an effort, like, you know, and Sia, you're so presentable all the time. I've never seen you walk in here and go,
I know.
I'm embarrassed by you. But
I
you
don't
clearly,
think
clearly
that's
on a
something
weekend,
to shun.
On a clear a weekend, you're just a wild animal. You just
let it all out.
Yeah,
just let it loose.
Well, we know that you walk around in your gown with it open so that your neighbors have to see all your junk sometimes.
No, they just see up to the thigh. No, that's all.
Up to the thigh from which direction?
Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
All right.
I'm getting 5 voice notes tomorrow of people who can admit these
things.
Let's
see. If you
can we just people?
Matthew says, at university, the damn hippie kids used to come to class barefoot, even in the rain. I'm scarred for life. Yeah, that's from Matthew. I'm with you, Sia. This is...
second person.
Jillian.
Oh, the work is being done for me.
I am with you, Sia. Barefoot is bust. That's
thank
from
you.
Charles.
Okay.
Sia, do you stay in Boksburg? Says Rami.
Up the road from my office, there is a large school, low Geldenhuis.
Yeah, they don't go to school, those Afrikaans kids.
I see those kids on a cold winter's day, no shoes on, and I ask myself, is there some correlation between like better performance in early childhood development and no shoes on? Why are people like, why? It's encouraged, it's would seem.
Galfoot. I bet you where Pinky's from in Bloemfontein. There are a lot
do
of people that go
those,
to school called.
Do you know what those
doesn't
feet look like?
Kill you, man.
Can you understand what
those you know what
feet
it does
must
to your feet?
Look like?
Because those toes and the... I don't know. Look. All right, let's go back
look,
to the messages.
If you think about everything that's out there that's gross and disgusting, and then you shouldn't even be leaving your bag on the floor in public. But
do you see
my
bag
on
the couch right now?
Riet says, Sia, the whole of Cape Town is with you. People in Cape Town wear pantoffels. They wear slippers to the shops.
Yes. Yes. All folks, right. When you are hungover.
The whole of Cape Town. The whole of Cape Town.
When you are hungover on a Saturday morning and you feel like you just need that one meal and you can't order it, you have to go and collect it. Are you telling me you somehow scrape yourself off bed, you go into the shower, you get a fresh new pair of clothes, and then you leave the house?
That's how the healing from the hangover starts. Just take a shower.
You tidy up.
Spare me.
You walk out of the house feeling fresher because you're wearing fresh clothes. If you're wearing the same stanky things you've been in for like 18 hours since you passed out.
Okay, here we go. Here is something that will really run you guys up. Tell the truth and shame the devil. What's the longest you've ever gone without taking a shower or bath? Be honest.
Sia,
go ahead.
I'm sending this to your mother. I'm sending this particular recording to your mother.
Now this,
she will deal with you appropriately.
Let's just go with it. Let's go.
What?
When was the longest time you've ever not had a bath or a shower, Pumi? And I'm not talking about extenuating circumstances. Like, let's say you were on a flight and the flight was 22 hours and you couldn't
like
shower.
No, like just you had the opportunity, you just chose not to?
Yeah.
No, Sia.
What?
Twice a day a person must shower.
What's
two
the
times.
Longest you've gone?
Maybe took one shower that day.
Mm-hmm.
Girl.
All right. Gugu, you report to yours, girl. Please. Pinky, we're going to need yours, please. We're going to do it.
The longest I've gone without a bath or a shower.
Yeah.
Probably like maybe a day. I don't feel good, man. I don't feel good without showering.
Me too. I'm with you. Pinky, what about you?
Has to be a day.
Yeah. So tell us about you.
Gareth?
Sia, tell us about you.
About the same. I'm kind of in the same ballpark as Gugu and Piggy. Was it a week?
I feel like according to the auditors, Sangweni and Associates, at least two of you are lying here. I've gone umper 3 days.
Why?
What was happening in your life?
What were the reasons?
Just stewing in your own juices.
No, you know, in the...
3 days. What is your opinion on this? Are you disgusted like I am?
I'm being honest, and that is why I'm saying if everyone was more honest, come on now.
He probably does this every weekend.
Why? Why were you not
taking
a shower?
It was December.
even worse. So you're it's hot and you're sweating.
And I was in Durban. And it just so happened we were bouncing from house to house. And then you drink and you pass out and you wake up and you party and you go, oh, so-and-so is coming. Sure, let's go. And you, it just you're happened in the same to be clothes. 3 days.
Same clothes.
Iterations, variations. But all in all, your priority is having a good time beyond party cleaning up.
If I've been walking around in the same shirt for more than a day, I need
But do you know a groove, Gareth? When the only thing you need to make sure is like clean a is a cooler box.
It you're sounds like a rat.
Cooler box and ice and you're good and right.
It sounds like you were in a rut.
Well, it seems there are a lot of people who are agreeing with you. Guys, this is the routine I was taught by my mother and I still do it. I wake up in the morning, wash your face, brush your teeth, make your bed, take out your pajamas, fold them up, put them under your pillow. So by the time you have to go to the shop for that morning bread or whatever, you're appropriately dressed. I'm just saying.
Well raised.
There we go. That's someone who was raised properly, and that is Lerato.
What were Lerato?
Thank you, Lerato.
I'm still counting on there was Haas. Rami and Charles. We're going to get to five.
Sia says, Nusha, no, dude, please wear your shoes. Oh. I was kidnapped once by my gay friends while I was drunk. They took me without shoes. I did not speak to them for 6 months. Nusha was kidnapped by her gay friends and taken out of the
promise. Kidnapping the gays, you're barefoot. Right.
I used to travel a lot and would do a wet wipe shower in the toilet on the plane if the time my last shower became too long. Since my last shower became too long. Sia, you need to be tested, dude.
Oh, wait, sorry. If you take away the wet wipe situation, if you don't count that as a clean and proper shower. At Opie, I was there for...
That's gross.
3-4 days.
Oh, that's gross.
If you don't count a wet wipe shower as an actual shower, then you have 4 days.
Even those like long-haul flights, whether they go via Dubai, they give you a little toothbrush and a little thing to wipe yourself with because they understand.
Understand. Okay, I've officially retracted my support of Sia. It's the same Niska who supported you earlier. She's grossed out.
Niska, you can't leave me in the line of war.
Sandile says, 3 days. Usangweni, you are disgusting. Does he not poo in December even? All that sweat in Durban too.
I know, this is my thing.
Getting a lot of hatred here, Sia. Opi Kopi says someone, no shower for 4 days. Thank God for wet wipes. That's from Hugo.
See? I think it's Hugo on my side.
I've never been to this Opie Kopie.
I think Hugo's on my side with this one, right?
I'm so glad I've never been to this Opie Kopie. People are out there not showering.
I lost Niska, but I gained that one. So I'm on two.
No, Sandile's disgusted by me. Not pleased with you. You are struggling to find allies. And see, it doesn't matter. Numbers are not going to help you in this case. Here's Leighton who says, people are just inconsiderate shits. I'm not surprised Sia is defending this. It is disgusting around other people smelling like swass. Jesus, I wanted to eat today. You've ruined my morning, Leighton. Never ever cut Sia from the show. I love you all, but Sia represents the millennials to the T. I wear slippers to the shops. I sleep in friends' houses. And when you didn't plan to shower... Shower is second to social.
There we go.
That's a very interesting point from Calm Haley.
Calm Haley, the truth shall set you free.
Shower is second to social.
Yeah.
She also says, don't wear shoes. It's more real. It's liberating. And have you been to Stellenbosch campus? Shoes are for the conservatives.
Yeah.
I'm a millennial. Go see her.
When your friends say, I'm 2 minutes away. You just get that credit card or that bank card.
And you go.
And you go. The rest you'll figure out on the way.
Neil says, I won't even leave the house if I can't shower in the morning. I'll pull a sickie and won't go to work rather than go out looking like that. Really? It's disgusting, Sia. Natalie in Cape Town says, sis, Sia, I take a shower twice a day and will never go to a dusty festival ever.
Here's a Capetonian. Somebody earlier said all Cape Town. And here is a Cape Townian saying, sis.
And this is a general statement, but God bless women. When, growing up with 3 sisters and my mother, and we'd go out and we'd go for dinner, or then, with my sisters and we'd go out partying, and they'd still need to come back home and wash their face and clean this off and toner and primer.
Three step, baby. Wash, cleanse, and
you'll deal with it in the morning. Let's go.
All right. Well, there are some serious things going on in the world, and I do want to play a little clip for you from the BBC where they go into the fake news. You know, a lot of these clips that are being sent around about xenophobic violence don't turn out to be related to anything that's going on at the moment, and some of them are pretty disturbing. I mentioned how, you know, on WhatsApp now you get these horrific, they're the most upsetting things. People just hurting each other. Really, it should be from a horror movie, but a lot of them turn out to not be real news. Mm. And the BBC has gone and dug out some of this stuff and figured out what is true and what isn't. Listen to this.
Jumping or falling from the roof. People sending it are claiming that it's from South Africa, but actually this building on fire is in the city of Surat in Western India. The fire took place in May 2019. Here's another one. The footage shows a man being burned alive after he was accused of robbing a woman's handbag. Many are sharing the video on WhatsApp, claiming it depicts the currently ongoing xenophobic violence in South Africa. But our experts have actually confirmed that the video is from Joburg, South Africa, and it was recorded in January 2019. See, social media is awash with graphic photos and videos that appear to stoke tensions and uncertainty in the country. And many people find it a little bit hard to tell what's real and what's not. What complicates things further is that much of the footage being shared is not fake or doctored, but its context is sort of being distorted to make it look like it shows what's happening right now in South Africa. But the impact of the social media outcry has been far-reaching.
What's been happening in South Africa has been felt in a huge way here in Nigeria. We've seen both peaceful and violent protests. And it's not just misinformation about the attacks that's stoking anger. A video of the South African Deputy Minister of Police speaking about the presence of foreign nationals in South Africa has been shared widely, but it's actually a clip from 2017. Popular Nigerian blogger Linda Ikeji shared a photo of a burned MTN office, claiming that it had been set alight in Lagos. It was in fact a picture of another fire from another state in 2015.
Xenophobic attacks are not a new phenomenon in South Africa. In fact, records show that attacks against foreigners have been recorded since 1994. The attacks hit peak in 2008 and again in 2015. But what makes it different this time?
This time you have social media and information travels very quickly. And to an extent, the fake news that has been trending on social media has been sort of adding fuel to the fire. For everything you come across on social media, don't believe it on face value. Learn to question before you believe it or before you share it with your friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. And it sounds so obvious, but, you know, we just take it as gospel when we receive something on our phones these days.
Mm.
And it drives me crazy because so much of it is just absolute nonsense. It's made up bullshit. And you can't believe everything that you see on social media. People do. Hey, good morning. What's up?
Yeah, morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's happening? Mobile.
Yeah, it's Mobile speaking. Yeah. Look, I just wanted to say, man, firstly, you don't need to shower twice a day. That is a myth.
Oh, guys.
Secondly, you guys, I feel like a lot of people are lying. Oh. The longest I've gone without showering is 2 days, and it was very comfortable, and I was still smelling very fresh.
I rest my case.
Lies.
Looking good, and no one could tell. And in fact, I'll just tell you this. I was in an elevator. Mm. And someone was like, "Ooh, you smell so nice."
Oh, please.
No joke. And then when you actually look deeper into it, you initially realize it's a myth. This whole thing you have to show every day.
Let me tell you something.
You have to do
this. You know what my worst fear is that I'm actually very smelly and people haven't told me.
You smell it to yourself, actually. Funny enough, Garrett, you know that whole pheromone thing of you can smell yourself and you think you smell bad, but to other people you smell good.
I don't know, dude.
Pheromone thing.
I would be horrified.
Sorry?
I would be horrified if people actually thought I was smelly and they never told me.
You have to shower twice.
I'm fortunate to have people who are very honest who tell me, hey, dude, you stink. That only happens if I go, let's say, 4 days.
4 days? You've done 4 days?
You wait for people to tell you stink.
But 4 days was because there was no water. So under those extreme circumstances, by choice.
Extenuating circumstance. You could have wet wiped.
No, but for me, by choice, it's 2 days mostly that I've gone. Because I don't go, like, I would usually be in a house at my place. And then if I'm not going anywhere or if I'm forced to go in, like, oh, why should I shower? It's down the road.
There we
go. Go down and go up. Done. There's no reason why.
Do you ever leave the house without shoes?
No, no, no. You have to leave without. We have to leave with shoes. Now that's ridiculous. Come on, let's be civilized.
Oh, let's be civilized. That's the come one on, thing.
Because there's bottles, there's sharp rocks, there's tar. Come on now. You don't want to expose your feet to that. No, that's just you're calling for disease if you're doing that, in my opinion. But the reason I wanted to call, guys, is I just wanted to ask you a thing. Is that I'm so sick and tired of virtue signaling people. You know, last week was basically a horrible week countrywide with all the crimes that were happening and the xenophobia. The funny thing, though, is that a lot of women were saying, hashtag men are trash, whatever, your own truth, as they say. But what I found very interesting is a lot of guys were virtue signaling, saying, yes, men must shut up and listen to women. Mm. And those same guys, so I, because I'm not a sheep, I was like, listen, guys, this is more nuanced than you think. And people to just, you know, blanket saying men are trash and it's men's fault. There's actually more detail to it. And I explained my details. I'm not going to go into it now because it's going to take too long. But funny enough, a lot of people called me name. And then this weekend, just from Friday night, because the weekend fever hits all the way to Sunday, the same guys who are virtue signaling mm-hmm. are now posting videos of women being in gangbangs. Of women being called, you know, the derogatory terms of which I'm not going to use because I hate that.
You know, these guys who are
gangbangs.
Yeah. These guys who are the first to call themselves allies whenever, you know, women say things like men are trash. They usually are the guys who are they're doing that to compensate because they actually are feeling guilty. I'm with you.
I agree.
Mobile, I know people like this. I know these guys. These slimy, these son of bitches.
Yeah, they really upset me because here's the thing. There's this guy that I know, and I'm no longer friends with him, but I happen to be in the same social circle. Mm-hmm. Dude was like, how dare you, bro? You know that women get raped and all that. And then this dude is the same dude who was abusive to his ex-girlfriend, and we had to intervene to solve it. And his ex-girlfriend actually went back to him after that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, for women to just go unilaterally and blanket statement saying men are trash without understanding nuance without it, because I know a few guys who have been killed intervening in such things. I know a few guys who have been killed. And when I explain my story in that sense, they're just little, yeah, you see, who committed the violence? Men. I'm like, but that's not helpful, though.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying it's more nuanced. We gotta, if we want to be more honest with ourselves as to eradicate this issue, I believe it is possible to eradicate it. But we need to be honest about the circumstances and the reasons. How can you say have to reduce women abuse when you...
I'm getting to the stage where I'm as suspicious of people who jump on these bandwagons and start getting hysterical as I am of the people who I know are already dodgy. Do you know what I mean? Anybody who's... Anyone who finds an occasion on social media to tell everyone else how good they are, to show off how righteous they are, those are the people I'm most suspicious of. Because why the hell would you do that? If you're not the kind of man who would ever raise a hand to a woman, why are you suddenly going on social media and telling everybody that they're wrong for doing it? It's none of your business. You're not involved
exactly.
in that.
Sorry, man. Now, as an equal opportunity person, I don't agree with this whole thing is you should never, ever raise a hand on your woman. That's bullshit.
Don't know, dude.
Women, if women are equal to men, hear me out. If women are equal to men, if you can then hit a woman if a woman hits you back as self-defense. I don't see a reason.
You mean if she hits you first?
If she, self-defense. The big thing is self-defense.
Shouldn't actually
as
be doing
adults,
this. I agree with Pumi.
We shouldn't be hitting each
no
other.
There's no need for people to do
ideally,
this.
No. Ideally, that's what we want. But unfortunately, in reality of the world, violence occurs. And therefore, self-defense is the only mechanism people can defend themselves under. I believe, ideally, we want that. But unfortunately, it does not happen. And because it doesn't happen, we have to face the fact. And another thing is, we always saying, we need to, women are told to dress a particular way, or women are told to act a certain way. And I'm like, I agree with the women when they say that. Men have no right. But unfortunately, the men who are ignorant to it see women like Zoto Abantu. And then it confuses those men. Because then they say, okay, you say I mustn't do that, but Zodwa Bandi is showing her, JJ.
I'm with you, and I actually agree with most of what you said. I think that Pumi's 100% right. We shouldn't ever have to get physical with each other. It's 2019. We should be over this stuff.
Yeah, violence, as Martin Luther King says, violence never brings permanent peace. It solves no social problems.
Well, speaking of Martin Luther King Jr., he is the first person to feature in our new season of Blind History, which starts today. Yes, the brand new season 2 of Blind History. There's a video component to it. There's an audio component to it. You can listen to the podcast or you can watch the YouTube video. It's all going to be up on cliffcentral.com in a short while. Very excited about this. Are we ready to go with it now? Yay! Get to hear the story of Martin Luther King Jr. this morning. Spring is here, and Skin Sense Day Spa in Rivonia, Johannesburg has just what we all need to celebrate. Renew your body with a body exfoliation and a Swedish massage for two people and pay for only one, Pumi.
It's great. I was there the other day.
This month's specials include a cleanse facial with vitamin C booster, gel mani and pedi, plus a wash and blow dry. Or you can treat a friend by buying a 1,200 Rand voucher, and you'll get 600 Rand more value. That's right. Take advantage of these September deals from the Skin Sense Day Spa. You can find out more at cliffcentral.com or you can go to skinsense.co.za where you can book treatments and even shop online. Woohoo! Isn't that exciting? All right, it is time for a brand new season. I'm so excited about this. We recorded a few of these episodes just a week or two ago, and we've got a new series of I think it's 12 more episodes coming at you. We're going to start with someone who I think everybody has been talking about quite a lot recently because they're trying to revise his history as we speak. This was a man who did more for the civil rights movement in America than any of his heirs have, and really he was a brave man. He stood up to arduous and difficult circumstances in a way that most activists today would never understand. He lived contemporaneously with people like Rosa Parks, an incredible hero, and someone of very, very strong moral fiber. I'm talking about Martin Luther King Jr., and that is the featured person on our Blind History episode, brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters on cliffcentral.com. Don't forget, How's It China coming on in just a few minutes from now.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. King was standing on the balcony of a second-floor hotel room tonight when, according to a companion, a shot was fired from across the street. Police were on the scene almost immediately. They rushed the 39-year-old Negro leader to a hospital where he died of a bullet wound in the neck.
It's another episode of Blind History, the beginning of season 2, and we start off with a giant from recent history, living history for some people, of the United States of America, Anthony Medera, CEO of Taylor Blinds and Shudders, Gareth Cliff, and season 2 of Blind History. I'm very excited about this. A lot of people have been giving us a few really good suggestions around who we should cover. This was one that we wanted to do before we started taking everyone else's suggestions. Martin Luther King, of course, a Baptist minister in America, most well known as an activist, as the main spokesperson for the civil rights movement. He was born in 1929, and there's an interesting story about his name. His actual name at birth was Michael. So was his father's, Martin Luther King Sr. They were both called Michael. The father went to Germany in the 1930s to learn about Martin Luther, the original Protestant. He came back and changed his and his son's name.
Incredible.
Mm.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the other interesting thing about him is that his father and he didn't have the best of relationships. I think it was probably true at the time for a lot of young black men. Their fathers would beat them into submission, and he said, "I will beat you until you become something." Those were his exact words.
But his mom was a great balancing figure. She was compassionate, kind, to the strict hand of senior.
Mm.
So in all intents and purposes, what I believe is he had quite a happy childhood, but, you know, interspersed with difficult times. He tried to commit suicide, apparently, by jumping out of a building.
He did. He had terrible depression. People don't know this about Martin Luther King Jr., is that he actually grew up very tough. He had an interesting childhood, too. I think his first girlfriend was a white girl, and she was the daughter of a German immigrant, and she was the cook in one of the kitchens at the college that he attended. And he fell in love with her, and he wanted to marry her. And all of his friends and his brothers and his dad, and they all said, "Don't you dare, because it'll make it impossible for you to preach to a black audience if they know you got a white wife. Racism goes both ways."
So that was after he'd realized that he wanted to go into religion.
Yeah.
Because previous, he was actually, him and his dad didn't really see eye to eye, exactly what you said earlier. Because he really wasn't interested in going into becoming a priest. And it was only later in college, that's right, where he took a Bible class.
That's right.
And that just changed his whole headspace. And it's just incredible. I mean, I would have liked to be in that Bible class. I mean, what happened, it was a completely transpired from there onwards, and what he achieved.
He was in the choir, I think, at the church with his dad for a long time, and that was kind of where he cut his teeth. And he was a pretty good debater, and he was recognized as being someone who had a tremendous way with words early on.
And the ladies.
and that certainly was part of his charm in the beginning. He kind of swore off all that stuff when he decided he was going to become a preacher. And even though he said he never really got over that German girl, he did marry Coretta Scott King. I think he married her in 1953, and they ended up having four kids. And he was quite a traditional guy, Martin Luther King Jr. He didn't really want his wife to become involved in the civil rights movement. He limited her involvement. He wanted her to be a housewife and a mother and preserve some kind of more traditional female role in his life.
But she ended up playing vital roles in areas. She stood in the front with him.
Mm-hmm.
She took calls from John F. Kennedy.
That's right.
He called her. I mean, she was just thrust, maybe willingly or unwillingly, she was thrust into the forefront.
I just want to refer back for a moment to something else about Martin Luther King Jr., because there's so much about his life that's been turned into legend now. We've seen some of it immortalized in film and in countless books. But when his father went to Nazi Germany, it was still Germany at that stage in the 1930s. It was part of the Baptist World Alliance. And he saw firsthand the rise of the Nazis. And he swore at that point that prejudice of all kinds had its roots in anti-Semitism. And he would never allow his children to be anti-Semitic. And it was interesting that Martin Luther King Jr. maintained that position until his death. And it was an important part of what he wanted to achieve through bringing about the civil rights movement, but also through his pacifism, because he was a big follower not only of Jesus and of Christianity, but also of Mohandas Gandhi.
He was very taken by Gandhi when he went there in 1963, I believe. But even prior to that, you're 100% right, Gareth. He was definitely nonviolent. And, you know, his strategies worked. If you look at the economic protests that took place, and the success he got from that.
Well, let's go through some of them, because they all deserve a mention, but they're too many to list. The most important one that started it all off for him was in 1955, I think, with the Montgomery bus boycott. And, of course, that was in response to Rosa Parks being arrested. Rosa Parks was this woman who got on the bus like everyone else, and she refused to give up her seat to a white person, a white woman or a white man. She was arrested. And at that stage, the rule was that the black people had to sit right at the back of the bus, or they didn't sit at all. And Rosa Parks, of course, has been immortalized too by the civil rights movement since then. But Martin Luther King was there with her, and he was one of the people who was protesting to have her released. In 1963, there was the Birmingham, Alabama protests, which, of course, were in response to hideous segregation, Jim Crow laws. And then, of course, his big one, because I'm leaving some of these out, but his big one was in 1963, the March on Washington, from which we can quote some immortal words in a moment or two. But that, of course, was the the event, I suppose, that galvanized him into the annals of history. And it was also just post that event in 1964 that he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his work against racism and against segregation.
I really enjoyed learning about Martin Luther King Jr. And I see a warrior in him. Seriously, I do. And there were a lot of powerful black people in the time that wanted to be more violent, to fight back.
Sure.
But he was a warrior. He enjoyed the battles. If you look how they proceeded in 382 days odd with the protests in Montgomery, and how he battled to fight them.
And in Selma.
And in Selma. It was big fights that, in all intents and purposes, he won all of them for his cause.
And he kept control on these very different opinions within the black civil rights movement of the time. He was strong enough to maintain his position as the leader and the figurehead in a time where there were lots of other people trying to grab some of that power.
And he stuck to his guns till the very, very end. And you know, it was two steps forward, one step back, and that's sure. what killed him. And another point that I took out was moderates. And if we talk about moderates, we can talk about moderates in business. We can talk about moderates in politics. And, you know, he said he'd rather have an extremist than a moderate. Mm. Because inwardly defiant, outwardly compliant, moderate. And it's so, so hard to turn and to change what's been happening in the past in history when you're faced with a whole lot of moderates.
Hmm.
You can't see the enemy. It's very, very difficult. And that's really one of the big things that I took out of Martin Luther King Jr.
He was especially important because he was a non-racist. He didn't believe that it was a black struggle only. He believed that the civil rights struggle was for all of humanity and that what he was doing was representing all of America in coming to grips with their history of slavery and the fact that they'd inherited this poisoned chalice of, you know, segregation. The huge disparities between the black and the white communities, especially in the South where he was from. So he felt very strongly and allied himself with a number of people on the left wing, even some of the people who were in the intellectual circles who he wanted to mix with and include in his march. There were a lot of white people in there with him too. But in the end, I suppose because of all the reasons that we already know from history, he was forced to kind of comply himself in some ways. You know, it was a difficult time. The Kennedys had the White House, and they were more or less sympathetic to him. But after that, not so much under Johnson.
But Johnson did more for...
Oh, in terms of enacting the right legislation.
Enacting the right legislation. Yes, he was a Southern guy. And,
correct,
and
Texan.
King, in the beginning, at least, rated him quite highly. I mean, they had some serious talkings. They had a lot of...
Yeah, major disagreements.
Meetings. Yeah, major disagreements. The Kennedys were very much for... change, but they didn't understand it. So they hadn't experienced it. It was almost like silver spoon stuff, and they didn't understand it enough to want to change.
Isn't this so true for so much of history? If we look at history with today's eyes, a lot of it looks bizarre and antiquated and you know, almost a bit naive. But it was. At those times, I don't think anybody really knew the things that we, with the benefit of hindsight, are able to appreciate.
Yeah.
They were kind of just dealing with the punches as they came. And that was very much true of Martin Luther King. Now, let's go through some of his achievements. I mean, he had the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Congressional Gold Medal. Martin Luther King Day, the third Monday of every January, was announced to be a national public holiday in America by Ronald Reagan. He's got streets, innumerable streets, schools, counties named after him. And of course, there's the Martin Luther King Memorial in Washington, which is absolutely beautiful. It's one of the most awe-inspiring of all the monuments on the National Mall in Washington.
And just to add, the posthumous Grammy.
Yes.
So that was in 1971 for his speech about why I oppose Vietnam, the war in Vietnam.
Yep.
And then also, I Have a Dream speech, inducted in the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2012.
He said, "I say to you today, my friends, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, One day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and little black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and little white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Magic.
That's incredible. And I listened to that speech recently now, and I have a dream. And he just increases it and he increases it.
I mean,
and the people are going absolutely
You
crazy.
Can't do justice to it. He was a master orator, and that's where the religious man in him just came to the fore. And, you know, ever since then, because, of course, the civil rights movement has moved on to other figureheads and other people who proposed themselves as leaders. One of those people was Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson was actually present when Martin Luther King was killed. And he claimed quite a lot more than was actually true. But the actual assassination, I suppose, is why he's remained such a powerful figure. You know, if he'd become an old man and kind of retired into the distance, I don't know whether people would have appreciated him as much, but we all feel his life was cut too short.
It was definitely cut too short, but he was going through a difficult stage. He was upset at the lethargy of change and going, like I said, two steps forward, one step back. And then he was trying to revive his movement when he went down to Memphis, that fateful time in April.
Well, he was at the Lorraine Motel at room 306, which was actually eventually they were there so many times because they used to stay in motels as they would move from town to town. And they'd been in that room, and Abernathy, who was his friend, the two of them called it the King Abernathy Suite at the hotel. And he was shot by James Earl Ray, who eventually went to jail for life. And he died in jail, I think, in 1998 of hepatitis. I don't think anyone would ever have forgiven him. But the last words of Martin Luther King, "Ben," he said to his friend, "make sure you play Take My Hand, Precious Lord tonight at the meeting. Play it real pretty."
Sure. That's incredible.
Martin Luther King Jr., born in Atlanta, Georgia, and died in Memphis, Tennessee, 1968. And I don't suppose there's anyone in the world who would say that his influence has waned over those years. If anything, it's grown stronger. Thank you for listening to Season 2 of Blind History. This is one of the many episodes that we have planned for you, and there are plenty more to come. It's brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters, only on cliffcentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.